This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our prayers of peace upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. Ahibbati fillah, I continually advise and command myself and you with the admonishment of taqwallah azza wa jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those who have taqwa in private more than in public. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our taqwa, that which is within our heart, something manifest in our character, conduct, words and actions for others to be see displayed and follow as a guide in their life. Allahumma ameen. We're going to talk about trust. And trust, ibadallah, is one of those things that defines the character of a believer. And it is one of the differentiators that allows us to identify the one who is not complete of faith. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about nifaq, hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy, nifaq in Arabic, it means to dig a tunnel, to submerge oneself so that others don't know from where you will emerge. Al-Imam al-Nawawi and al-Ghazali, they use this imagery where they say, it's like a rat who burrows, but makes an escape hatch so that when the snake falls him in, he thinks he's trapped him. But in fact, that rat knows how to get out from a predetermined exit. That's munafiq. That's the hypocrite. That's the word in Arabic. Nifaq was not known to the Arab up until the bi'atha of our Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. Al-Arab, they used to pride themselves on, you know, we spoke a little bit about it, muru'a, chivalry, manliness. Muru'a is, it's not about doing what's right and wrong, it is about doing what is most right out of what is right. That's muru'a. That you don't just choose what's right from what's wrong, but you choose what is the most right from what is right. This is a distinguished higher mode of thinking of a believer. The mushrikeen of Quraysh, they used to pride themselves on this muru'a. That their word would not be brought to the ground. That their promise would be kept. Even if it meant that the one that they were speaking about or questioned about was their avowed enemy. Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, before he was Muslim, when he stood in front of Heraclius in Syria, and he's asked about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لولا, had it not been نَفَرًا مِنْ قَوْمِي, that there were people from my tribe who were standing behind me, who I thought they would think of me as a deceiver and a liar, I would have lied. Look at him. He's asked about Muhammad. He spoke the truth. Why? He didn't want his countrymen to think, don't ever trust Abu Sufyan again. He's a liar. He lied about Muhammad. Even though they all hated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't have nifaq. Nifaq emerged after the hijrah. The mushrikeen before the hijrah, they hated the Prophet. They would say, we hate you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the hijrah, there was duplicity. And there were people who pretended to believe when in fact in their heart they disbelieved. And this is nifaqul akbar, major nifaq. That a person has no faith but claims to have faith. And those individuals the Prophet left be. And Umar would say to him, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has informed you who they are. You know that they are disbelievers and munafiqoon. In their heart there is no iman. And you know them by name. Ya Rasulullah, let's dispatch them. Get rid of them. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us a principle in our faith. That we deal people with the outward. You never look into a person's heart because you cannot. You don't say, I know inside he is this. I know inside he hates me. I know inside he hates Islam. I know inside he's an unbeliever. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, Lam Umar, I was not ordered to open a person's chest and look into their heart. Let them be. There was a minor, that was major nifaq. Unbelief, but pretended to believe. Do you know what it is, my dear brothers? These munafiqeen, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, would come and pray behind him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The munafiq, the one who disbelieved, would wake up for fajr and come to the masjid. Sometimes within our communities of believers, you find people who cannot even resemble the munafiq. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You find people who just snooze right through fajr. They cannot even reach that level of hypocrisy. La ilaha illallah. The minor level of hypocrisy is what this is seen in signs. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes people misunderstand these hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ says, كَمَا عِنْدَ الْإِمَامِ مُسْلِمْ آيَةُ الْمُنَافِقِ, the sign of a hypocrite. These are signs, means it's not because they do this, they are hypocrites. There's other things they do that make them hypocrites. But these signs, they manifest themselves beyond their control. A hypocrite cannot ever hide it. Because he's a hypocrite. What are these signs? He cannot control it. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, he lies. Even though he doesn't want to lie, he will lie. Cannot control it. Why? Because in his heart, there is that susceptibility to hypocrisy. إِذَا تُمِنَ خَان. You trust him, he betrays. عَاهَدَ أَخْلَف. Promises, betrays. In another riwayah, there's four characteristics, four signs. The fourth one, إِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرْ. When he disputes with you, he's overboard. He goes too far. It's not just normal abuse. He goes way over than what you would expect for a particular situation or circumstance. Hypocrisy. That definition of hypocrisy impacts on our concept of trust. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا تُمِنَ, when he's trusted, betrays the trust. Cannot fulfill it. One of the most important elements of trust is that a person who is unable to trust others or who is unable to fulfill the trust to others, whether it is to entrust others or to fulfill others' trust in him, is because they do not trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an element of iman. Today we want to look in Surah Taha. And we're going to look, yesterday we looked in Surah Taha about Adam alayhi salam. We looked at one ayah. We're going to look at a sequence of two or three ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subtly informs us about trust in him and trusting the worldly life. What does the Prophet ﷺ tell us about this worldly life? Is the worldly life something that is deceptive, or is it real and tangible? It's real in its material sense. But in this worldly life, he says to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like in the hadith of Ahmad, Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, it's a hadith that is sahih, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. The day of judgment will not draw near until. What will happen? يُؤْتَمَنُ الْخَائِنُ. وَيُخَوَّنُ الْمُؤْتَمَنُ. The one people should trust, they don't trust him. And the one people should not trust, people trust him. وَيُصَدَّقُ الْكَذُوبُ وَيُكَذَّبُ الصَّادِقُ. The one who's a deceiver and a liar, people will take him as truthful. And the one who is truthful, people will take him as a deceiver and a liar. And true are the words of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to look at verses 17 to 20 in Surah Taha, where after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Musa, Ya Musa, inni ana rabbuk, I'm your Lord. Take off your shoes, innaka bilwadi al-muqaddas tuwa, wa ana akhtartuka fastami' lima yuha. After Allah reveals himself as the Lord and the Creator and the one who is ma'bud to be worshipped by Musa, Allah then asks Musa, and this is the first ayah we look at, qala, Allah says to Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا, what is, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. O Musa, what is it that you hold in your right hand? Musa was a shepherd, and he was following his flock, and he had his family, and got lost in the mountains at night, and it was cold. And Musa, when he went up to a place which he thought had fire and light, meaning people who he could ask directions and possibly ask them for kindness and food and shelter, he came with his stick, his staff, his rod. And Allah, who sees all and knows all, asks Musa, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand? Not what is in your hand. Meaning, I see you now. What's in your right hand? This ayah sets a precedent for us as believers to take precaution in our life. Although we have trust in our ability and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah demonstrates to us that Musa, a rational person, takes his precaution. He doesn't walk up to a camp in the middle of the night, in the open Sinai desert, up into a mountain unarmed. He doesn't just walk up and say, hey guys, can I have some fire? They'd be like, I like your shoes. Is that your wife? Are those your sheep? No, he comes alone. He says to his family, you wait over here, don't come with me. You keep here. He made them safe, secured. He thought, yes, we trust Allah, but we are people of rationale and intelligence. We are people of shrewdness. We are people who go prepared. What's in your hand, Ya Musa? You came for a fight? You came, what is that in your hand? What did you come relying on, thinking it will save you? Qala, Musa answers, هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. If I was to ask, you know, this brother, my brother, what's in your hand? The brother said, a pen. He didn't say, it's my pen that I'm writing with and that I brought from home because I know I might borrow it and someone might need to borrow it. He didn't give you all of its uses. Musa, what's in your hand? He says, Asaya, it's my stick. And then he gives full disclosure, which shows you why he should be a prophet of Allah. No hypocrisy. Full disclosure. In our faith, half the truth is a lie. Hiding, being unable to represent complete truth and transparency is unacceptable. What's in your hand? It's my stick. أتوكأ عليها. I use it for tawakkuh, to lean on. I'll explain this word shortly. And I herd my flock with it. And I have many other uses for it. He's answering Allah, who knows everything. Look at the word he uses. أتوكأ عليها. Tawakkuh in Arabic, it means one of three things. In English, see, when you read the translations, brother, it says, I use my stick to lean on. No, three things. At tawakkuh, three things. that when I am healthy, I prevent injury by using my stick. So I'm climbing a mountain. I don't want to roll my ankle and get hurt. فَأَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. And if I am injured, أَتَوَكَّأ, if I'm injured, I protect myself from further injury by using my stick as a crutch. And third, I hold myself upright so that I do not need to sit when I am guarding others. Allahu Akbar. See, Musa was traveling with his family. He was at their service. He was up and vigilant. When he says to them, Umkuthu, you sit here in comfort, let me go up. He is so tired. He's lost and tired. His body is beyond physical means. But because he's a man of muru'ah, of trust in himself for his family and Allah, atawakka'u alayha. You, my dear brother, your job is to be eternally vigilant for those who you guard. Even if they're sheep. Atawakka'u alayha. If I'm injured, I go on for them. I protect myself for them before injury. I take my precaution. And if I'm tired, atawakka, I lean on it so that I can go on, so I don't need to sit. Allahu Akbar. This second statement shows you Musa should be the prophet of Allah. He's ready to serve others. أَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي. I gather my herd, in translation we'll say, I herd my sheep, I herd my flock with it. أَهُشُّ بِهَا, the ulama, the mufassirun, they tell us that Musa's disposition was one of such justice, and his aim was to provide equity even amongst his flock, that if a sheep or a ram that was stronger than the weaker, younger sheep began to eat too much of the leaves and the shrubs, he would beat it away so that the young could eat. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي. I wasn't just doing the job just for the sake of it. I was just in my fulfillment of my job. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. And I have other uses in it. Meaning, I carry a big stick for big fellas. I know when to talk and I know when to throw a punch. That was Musa. He comes out of the desert tired. Could you imagine, you just crossed the Sinai, you have no food, you have no water, and you see two young girls, people, you know, they're pushing their sheep aside. You say, I'm not going to get mixed up in these ruffians. I need to rest. I'm tired. He sees injustice done. What does he do? Solves the problem. He fixes it. Doesn't take payment for it. Muru'ah. Muru'ah. That beauty that we find. That is cause for trust in Allah. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. I have other uses for it. قَالَ, Allah answers him, أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Throw down your stick. Now I want you to understand this word asa in Arabic, asaya. Any of you know the famous statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu? Al-asa, لِمَن؟ Al-asa لِمَن asa. The asa, the staff, the rod for the one who does the sins that deserves the rod. What do we call a sin in Arabic? We call it ma'asiyah. Ma'asiyah. Where you're talking about this inanimate object. Do you know why we call a stick in Arabic asa? Why is it called that? Why is a branch given that name? And why are sins given the same name? Because that branch, my dear brother, it used to be part of a tree. It used to be alive. It would carry fruit and have leaves, and birds would nest on it. It fulfilled so many purposes. Ants would live on it. Birds would eat from it. Birds would nest on it. Leaves would grow from it. It would shelter people. It had so many functions, so many things. But once that branch dies and it's put on the floor, on the ground, people, the only thing that they could think of using it for is either to use it for a physical means like this or to burn it for light and warmth. It has no good in it. That same word is the description of the hypocrite. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, you see them, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khushubun musannada. The hypocrite, they are hollow, dead pieces of wood. Why is this imagery of a dead piece of wood being that of the imagery of a hypocrite and a sinner? Because every time you sin, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, every time we incur a sin between us and Allah and others, we kill a part of ourselves. You're putting yourself to death. You've cut yourself off from Allah. You've turned yourself into a hollow, unusable piece of wood that has no benefit but to be burned. Asa. What are you holding, ya Musa? Qala hiya asaya. It's my stick. The imagery in you, that higher consciousness. What does the Prophet ﷺ say to us? The house where the Quran is not read in it, what happens to it? It's like the house of the dead. The house where dhikr is not established is like a house that is like a burial ground. You put yourself to death. How do you give yourself? What is iman? How does Allah typify iman? He says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا. Give them the example of those who were dead. They were alive and talking and breathing and eating, but they were spiritually dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَا. We gave that man, that woman life. They came to life. What does the muadhin say for salah? Hayya, come alive through salah. Hayya, come alive and earn your success. Look at the imagery of life and death. Tangible life, spiritual life. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيَّ وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Musa, throw it down. Meaning, don't put all your trust in what you think is the thing that will save you. You came up this mountain thinking that this thing, this stick that you rely on to keep you healthy, you rely on to keep your flock fed, you rely on to protect yourself and your family, alqiha, put it down. The one you trust has to be first, Allah. You think, ya Musa, it has many other functions? I'm going to show you functions in that dead piece of wood that you cannot comprehend. Look at the majesty of Allah. Do you think Allah could not split the sea without the stick? Do you think Allah could not have water exit the rocks of the mountain in the Sinai for the tribes of Israel without the stick? Do you think Allah could not have defeated the magicians for Musa without a stick? Alqiha ya Musa, put it down. It's not the stick. It's your trust in Allah. In this surah, Musa says often, more than four times, him and Harun, قَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ. Oh Allah, I'm scared. Allah says, go to Pharaoh, I'm scared. When Musa sees the magician throw the sticks and the stones and the rods and they appear to him, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. In front of his eyes, he assumed that they had come to life. He saw it. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفًا. Musa backed away fearful. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Don't be scared, ya Musa. Fear is natural, even to the prophets of Allah. It does not negate your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Musa throws down the stick. فَأَلْقَاهَا. He immediately threw it. Allah is training Musa to be receptive to the commands that he orders. فَأَلْقَاهَا. Immediately. This fa التَّعْقِيبَ again. Remember we said, what did we say about the letter fa? It means what? Immediately. Immediacy. The fa, when you see it at the beginning of a word that can be used without it, it means that the order is instructing immediacy. فَأَلْقَاهَا. He immediately threw it. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. The stick came to life and quivered in front of him. The Arab, the description that they would use for a stick was they would say, this is asa. And if it moved, they would say hayya. It's a stick with life, meaning a snake. You know the word snake, hayya? Other than thu'ban, the description is hayya, means in the darkness of a desert, you see something, it looks like a stick. All of a sudden it moved, you say hayya. It's alive. That's what happened to Musa. He put down a stick, it came to life. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى Moving quickly. So now Allah uses that word hayya, life. Remember we're talking about the stick being dead? Now there's the life of resurrection. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ Allah says, take it and do not be fearful. This is the last ayah we look at due to the shortness of time. Take it. Hold it. It's still alive, ya Musa. It's still a snake. Pick it up. Don't be afraid. قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ And don't be afraid. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى We will return it to how you knew it initially. These set of ayat, where Allah asks Musa to pick it up without fear, it means, Ya Musa, trust that I am the Lord who can do everything for you. And it's for you and I, as it was for our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to understand that the things that are physical in our life are under the command and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is ill and has within them or their family someone who is susceptible and is facing difficulty of health, trust Allah. As Allah made the stick come to life, Allah can cure you from your illness. The one who is in poverty, as Allah changed the stick and brought it to life, Allah can remove your poverty. The one who is suffocating in debt, as Allah brought the stick to life, He can change your debt to comfort. But you have to reach out for it. You have to hold on to it. You have to trust Allah. لا تخف. Don't be afraid. Put your hand. Sometimes you have to go in a place that you think it's something that is not the right thing. It's not something that I'm going to be able to accomplish it. I'm not going to be able to finish university. I'm not going to do successful in that job interview. I'm not going to be able to fulfill that work order. Trust Allah and then work. The stick doesn't jump back into Musa's hand. Musa has to reach for it even though he is fearful of it. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to conclude with a general admonition about yaqeen and certainty of faith. Our iman is built on tawheed. Our belief in Allah, we believe in tawheed. And tawheed, as I'm sure you have studied in this masjid and have heard in other lessons, there are conditions to it. And there are steps within it. Our tawheed begins with knowledge. Our foundation is ilm. فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ The second step after knowing is becoming certain of what we know. See, many know. We know we should worship Allah. But we're not certain about Allah. This, my dear brothers and sisters, this second step is a critical step for you and I, especially living in a place and in time where not many people around us believe in a God. I'm not talking about Allah. In a God in general. Being certain about Allah is the matter that will change your worshipping life between you and Allah. Abdullah, the reason a person does not wake up for Fajr is they're not certain of Allah. Why does a person not wake up for Fajr? They know Allah, they know La ilaha illallah, they know Quran. But they're not certain. If they were certain that by missing that fajr, Allah will ask them about it, they would wake up. The one who is certain that there is qiyamah, and there is hisab, and there is accounting, wakes up. The sister who knows Allah sees her now. witnesses her, hears her, is aware of her. Tamtathil, acts in accordance to that sight of Allah of her. The sins that we make that cut us off from Allah, that make us like dead pieces of wood, the sins, they are elemental due to our doubt of Allah. Do you know, my dear brothers, we're talking about, you know, ma'asiyah. There's only two core reasons people make a sin. It's only two things. There's all the sins of the world are of two categories. The first is doubt, shubha. You're doubtful. Really, will Allah, yani, will Allah ghafoor, maybe Allah will forgive me. You doubt that Allah will punish you. But Allah, you always say, Allah ghafoor rahim, ghafoor rahim, ghafoor rahim. Yes, but He is also shadeedul iqab. نبي عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم وأن عذابي هو العذاب الأليم. Inform my servants that I am the most forgiving and generous, but equally inform them that I am the severest in punishment. يقين. The second reason people sin is shahwa, desire. I love her. I love him. I'm going to make money. How am I going to feed the kids? But I think this is it's an investment that I can't miss out on. If I don't buy the house with mortgage, brother, if I die, where are my kids going to go? Doubt. Shahwa. Those are the two reasons. The two reasons a person, may Allah protect us from sin, is those two reasons. Doubt and desire. You can't control your desire, or you doubt that there is one who witnesses you, or one who cares to witness you, or one who will hold you accountable, or one who will reward you. And as such, fasting, siyam, the Prophet ﷺ says, the one who fasts Ramadan with what? With iman, meaning yaqeen, and ihtisab, knowing and hoping Allah will reward him. Saying, Allah is going to give me my reward. Trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is therefore linked to our iman, our tawheed. Ilm leads to yaqeen. It's not enough to just know. Now you know, you must know to a level that you are so sure of Allah that it transmits into your character and behavior and your dealings. I conclude with the moment, the one time reported in the Sunnah where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and his Sahaba missed a prayer. Miss Salah, Fajr. They were out in a platoon, in an army, and they were in enemy territory. And everyone was exhausted. The hadith is in Bukhari. So they said, we need to sleep. They finally got off their horses at night. We need to sleep a little bit. And they said, but Fajr is soon. Bilal radiallahu anhu arda, the muadhin of the Prophet, he volunteered. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me be awake and I will wake you before Fajr. Because he's the muadhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Bilal fell asleep. He's human. That's why there's a difference between ma'asiyah and khati'ah. There's a difference. You know, in Islam we have 25 different words for sin. In English you always read sin. There is dhanb, there is ithm, there is khati'ah, there is ma'asiyah, there is fahisha, there is buhtan. There 25 different words that mean different things and have different rulings. And Allah has different names, divine names for them. When Allah speaks about a certain kind of sin, He is ghaffar. But when Allah speaks about another ithm, He is tawwab. Bilal akhta, he fell asleep. Mistake. And he didn't wake up until the sun burned their skin. They were exhausted. They were so tired that the sun, when it rose high enough that their skin came hot in the desert. And when they woke up, you know, what do you think the Sahaba would think? Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba have never missed a prayer in their life. وَضَعُوا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْتُرَابِ. They took dirt to bury themselves with. We're destroyed. I would rather be buried alive. Allahu Akbar. Because they missed what? Fajr. Not on purpose. Not with an alarm clock, not with a mobile phone, not with anything. But they have yaqeen. Allah will hold me account. وَضَعُوا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمُ التُّرَابِ They began to heave dust upon their head at the destruction that they presumed they would face. And then came the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that you and I, we all know, that رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ The pen is lifted from who? One who is exhausted. You're exhausted. You couldn't wake up. Even the phone went, your wife called it. You couldn't wake up. خلاص. Allah is غفور. رحيم. It is خطيئة. لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us yaqeen and to make our children firm in their faith. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the modality and the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attach us to the Qur'an and help us to understand its ayat and its words and to delve into its meanings with a practical way that can influence our life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clear our heart of nifaq and to make our deeds that are private better than those that are public. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens our hearts and accepts our prayers and makes us from those who recite the Qur'an in the depth of the night and practice it in the days and in the times that we live until we return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka atubu ilayk. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم